I never get tired of that intro. I think that's the coolest thing ever. I know I'm biased, but damn, that's good. Anyway, yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show, Jake. How are you today, man?
Hey man, it's a great day. We had some cool news. We got some scary news, like it's and we've you know good, bad, or indifferent. I guess that falls right in with what we wanted to talk about a little bit about being resilient in business today, because it happens all the time, right? Like we literally just had a phone call that we pretty much got the answer of do better on some things we need to do, like improve, step up, get tougher. And we went, all right, let's figure out how to
Not
do
yet,
that.
not me. I'm the best there is, I'm the best there was, and the best there ever will be, bro. I mean, I
See,
break my arm.
there's a solid mindset, and we'll get into that.
I
Yeah.
break my arm all the time, pat myself on the back. So
Yeah, you got to do a lot of yoga for that.
can't love yourself, how can you love others?
That's true.
So
Big hug, big hug. There you go.
let's break it down, man. I've been hearing, and you know, one of my businesses is in the DC metro area and the surrounding area, which that basically encompasses Northern Virginia, state of Maryland, and Washington, DC, right? It's kind of this tri-state area. It's not really a state, I know, but it's like a tri, it's called the tri-state area. There's a couple of tri-state areas, but that's a tri-state area, or the Delmarva Peninsula, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. So with this, we're talking about people who are getting laid off. We're talking about a climate that has shifted to where there's government thinning and there's a lot of unemployed people, especially in like the data markets, and there's a crowded applicant pool now. And you're a service provider, you're a business, you're an entrepreneur, you're somebody who services people. And people around you are getting laid off left and right. Well, how do you have this resiliency? So I want to talk today, right? I want to talk about two major things. Number one, the business part of being resilient. And number two, when we get into really the deep coaching stuff, the mental resiliency and how to have that selective earmuff move where we don't let everything affect us, right? So I really feel like we should let's go into the business resiliency first, and then we'll go into the mental mindset nonsense later, right? And we'll figure out how to bring that forward. So when let's talk resiliency in business. When you hear me say that, where does your brain go immediately?
So immediately goes, one of the things we hear all the time is get rich in your niche. Like you gotta really niche down into this very, very specific client pool, and that's your client pool. Well, that's all well and good, with the notable exception that if you're, as an example right now, if your client pool is the United States Forest Service as an example. We just saw massive layoffs for that today that are going to happen, or a government office that is like that.
Okay.
You're going to start to feel like your business is in trouble. So how do we be resilient in that? Well, when we built it, we built for more people. We're not just our niche. Like our niche does not define who we are as business owners. Right. So, whatever your system, your process, your tool, your widget, your thing is, it may serve that market, but it is not proprietary to that market. So, like, this is where, part of this resilience in business is also a little bit of elasticity in business, to where you've got to be able to say, all right, I'm going to make sure I've got, I'm going to go way off the rails on this one. Everybody knows what a milking stool is, right? I'm going to date myself wickedly
No,
here.
I
A
don't
cow
know.
milking stool
I
has
don't know,
three
right?
legs.
I live in the modern era.
Yep, you live in the modern universe. So the chair you're currently sitting on probably has five wheels, if I'm going to bet. Your office chair probably has five that you're sitting on. Okay. I
Yeah.
think
So five stools, five legs of the journey. and we're talking about a milking stool. Is that what I'm supposed to hear from you? So in a milking stool, and I'm sitting on the milking, but I'm not in a barn. That's, I don't know, man. Like, where, I don't know where you went, but I'm supposed to be in a milking stool, but I'm not in a barn. I don't even know how that goes.
How the hell do I go, we'll splice that. So, all right. So let's talk about a three-legged milking stool relative to your business.
Okay.
Okay. If your business is a one, if it's a tripod, single peg sitting on the tripod stool, and somebody kicks your tripod out from your single peg out from underneath you, that's your business. You're all done. Balance in your business, elasticity in your business, and resilience in your business is going to come from diversity in your business. If you've only got one product you sell to one classification, you're going to be in trouble, right? You're going to be in trouble when that classification has economic hardship. So you've got to be diverse in your business in order to be able to do that. Now, a lot of people, like we know tons of coaches that train speakers, right? How many, I couldn't even list on one hand, how many coaches we know that train speakers to speak, on stage. What defines that? Now, here's where I want to ask you this question, and I'll hit you with this, Mike.
Okay.
What would you define as a stage?
Right here, right now.
Right here, anything, right now is a stage. That's fair.
Anywhere, anytime I am speaking to anybody, to me is a stage. If I'm in any kind of setting that I can influence somebody, that I can spread and impact people, that to me is a stage. I can be talking to four people at a bar. I could be talking to a crowd of 1,000 people. I can be on a Zoom. I can be on a virtual conference. Anywhere to me is a stage if I can impact. Now, am I always on? No, right? Not. Of course, it's me. I'm always on. But am I always on? Sure. But am I always on in it with a business mindset? Or am I hanging out? You know, I'm hanging out sometimes, right? So for me, anywhere is a stage. What about you?
And I agree with you there, because there's where the diversity is. Now, if you say, you know, I'm going to train to be a speaker and I'm going to only speak at airport conventions, making this up as I go along. I'm only going to speak at airport conventions.
Okay.
Right. That's the only time I'm ever going to speak. And what happened during COVID? Everything shut down. There were no conventions. There was nothing in person. If you were so niched down that that's all you did, you were in pain. But if you made the decision that everything's a stage, Zoom is a stage, our studio is a stage, podcasts are a stage, TV shows are a stage, Chamber of Commerce is a stage, all these different spaces with which you are able to get in front of a similar client, not just your niche client. And that's where, when we're talking about resilience, you know, I'm looking at this from a diversity standpoint. I'm looking at this of, you've got to have, you can't just get into business and have a product. Nike does not have one shoe, right? Nike is a shoe company. That's true, but they don't have a single high top for basketball players that are over 6'7" tall.
You're right.
You get where I'm headed with that? Like, that's the diversity in your business, which creates the resilience in your market. Because if one part of your market slows way down, another part of your market is still available to you to be able to sustain that particular thing. And it's true in every business. Every business, I can make an example of every single industry to where this resilience that we're talking about, this diversity of not, we got to have two separate product lines. Think Nike is the example. Shoe company. They serve everybody. Everybody wears shoes. I got shoes on right now. There's a shoe. Like, every single person has got a shoe that they got to wear. So their audience is everybody. Everybody that wears shoes. So how are you making your business resilient is the question. You know, what are the things? What am I diversifying in? If I'm a speaker, am I doing corporate training? If I'm am I also doing Chamber of Commerce? Am I doing education? Am I doing webinars? Am I doing a podcast? There we go. Five legs that are an establishment of your speaking business that quickly. So that's when I say this, you know, to a diversity point. Agree or disagree? Where are you at on that subject, Mike?
I agree, but I want to go a little bit deeper. I think when you talk about diversity, you need to be focused on your impact. And I was having this conversation with somebody who earlier today I was coaching someone that starting, they're going from having a network on a TV show to a program to being a CEO. And as I was saying, think about it as having coffee. You can have the full pitcher of coffee, right? You can have a cup of coffee. You can have a smaller cup of coffee, or you could have an espresso shot of coffee, right? You're still doing the coffee thing. That's your offering. So you're speaking on a big stage, a podcast, whatever. You're still speaking, but you're also speaking about where to send people, right? I think the resiliency sometimes has to be, where is the next step for when you're interacting with people? And I feel if you are consistent enough with your messaging in all those facets, right? And you're not biased, because podcasts are evergreen if people can find them. Stages and recorded conferences are evergreen. You leave an impact. You leave a legacy. You see somebody. But where are you sending people? I feel like too many people right now don't have a system of direction for the ears or for the eyes that they are engaging. And to be truly resilient, you need to be confident in what you're offering, who you're offering it to, and how the heck people get it. And in my line of work, there's always, 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 what is it leading back to? Now, you hear me say that, I kind of plus one what you said and went deeper. And I realize when you're trying to add value, you're not really supposed to be selling, but you're always selling something. You can add value and ask, right? Ask, give and ask.
Ask.
When I give you that plus one, now let's expand on that. You know what? Actually, time on that. Let's continue this conversation. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the banners I've been flying on the screen here.
Well, I thought that was a wonderful transition to where you're talking about. You've got to make the ask. And you've got to have a system for bringing people into your ethos, into your ecosystem, into your database, into your community, into your network, whatever you want to call it. You got to have a system. This is part of our system. So Battleground is our crowning achievement. It's the jewel in our crown within Total Disruption of what we're doing. And this is for the visionary, invisible business owners. If you're the best kept secret in your universe, this is with that for you. This is a huge show that we've put together, unlike anything that we've seen. We're super excited. This is new seasons are coming out. We're casting new contestants for in here. I would love to be able to describe how deep it is and what it is and all the things that you get for being part of this. But this is the massive visibility play. This is TV. This is podcast. This is magazine. This is email. This is competition. This is a coaching play, all the stuff and all the things. And how do you do it? You apply. You go right over here. You can scan that QR code and that'll take you directly to the application. You get to have a conversation with us. Worst case that's going to come out of this, maybe you're not a fit for this. And that's cool. Maybe you're not quite the right fit for this, but like, let's have the conversation and see if you're ready for this.
So this, if you've ever needed a massive PR injection in your business, you want to be from obscure to seen and you want to just really go to the next level. That's what Battleground is, a massive shot of PR. And it's unbelievable to watch the transition from our contestants that went from obscurity to now they're comfortable on camera. They're making their offers. They're getting more intelligent. They're coaching other contestants. It's pretty amazing. It's a pretty amazing transformation. And each and every person in every industry that we have is going and taking the information and doubling, tripling, their whole presence in the marketplace. They are really standalone when it comes to this. And it all starts with going over here to Battleground, getting that, scanning that QR code and getting locked in for that conversation. It doesn't cost you anything to apply, but if you're really missing the PR and you really want to up your game to millions of people, that's what we're here to do. So as we talk further about resilience, right, I'll leave this up for just another few seconds here. As you can see, we got the apply now button down at the bottom. So as we talk a little bit more about resiliency and we talk about the ask and we talk about the offer and the deliverability and the sustained confidence, even when it gets tough, if you're in dire straits in your business and you, oh my goodness, you're starting to get affected by the culture out there. You're starting to allow, you said something earlier, Jake, in one of our other conversations, what are you listening to and how are you filtering? If you're starting to get that mental artificial pressure where the world is ending and there's all these sensationalists out there, oh my goodness, these cuts and that, and these people are, you know, there's all these crazy sensationalists that won't listen to rational thought. How do you filter them out? How do you stay in your lane? Let's flip to a little coaching here, right? What are some routines? Let's go down a couple different roads here, man. What are a couple different routines somebody can install that you're observing the culture around you? You're trying to take advantage of it in the marketplace, create a new offer, create a system, offer the community something. But Jake, how does somebody become more mentally resilient?
There's many parts to this, but I'm going to give you a couple today.
Okay.
One has come from curiosity. Like when you're having these conversations, regardless of who they're with, potential customers, sensationalists, and I love that word today, you know, whoever you're having the conversation with, doing your market research to find out what's going on in your universe, come from curiosity, genuine curiosity about what do they want? What are they looking for? What do they know? What is true? What is true? Not what is made up. So like I would tell you to come from curiosity in all your conversations.
Curiosity.
A couple other spots I would tell you to look at is, and we've talked about it in previous episodes, you can find it in our book, is core values. You have got to stay true and integral to your core values. The three that you've derived that is integral to your business, your core values. And your core values will determine your why. The reason that you get up, the reason that you're passionate as an entrepreneur, the reason that you do the thing for the customers and the clients and the people and everybody that you're dealing with, it's the why.
Okay.
When you are in alignment with your why, your resilience, not your stubbornness, your resilience is going to be better. You're going to be able to march down that road. As long as you're marching down the road towards your true purpose, your true why, like I could tell you, sure, things are going to work out. Everything's going to work out in the end. There's a big plan. But as long as you're in alignment with your why, and there's a whole big plan. And I would tell you, go watch. There's a YouTube video. The guy's name is Simon Sinek. I'm a fan. I've watched him on stage many times. Simon Sinek. It is a 14-minute YouTube hit, S-I-N-E-K, Simon S-I-N-E-K, Sinek.
Is he the guy with the glasses?
Is he what?
Is he the guy with the glasses, that guy who's always really stoic?
He is a guy with glasses. And point of view, I had to think about that. I'm like, I'm usually listening to what he says, not looking at his face. Yes, he has glasses. But there's a 14-minute YouTube video that says Start With Why that talks about why, the reason Microsoft smoked everybody in all of their computer markets. And there's a very, very, and they even during downturn markets, during, you know, bad economic times when people did not have consumer confidence, they dominated the market. And it's because they were focused on their why, not their how, not their what. We all know what we do. We know how we do it. We know who we serve. Why do we do it? When you come from that space, you are going to be tougher. Your skin is going to be thicker. You are going to be able to sail through it a little bit easier. You know, I know none of those are quantifiable numbers. I get it. I hear it. I hear myself saying it. And
I'll give you some quantifiable numbers. You ready?
Hit me.
All right. So I can say with 100% certainty that when I am scared, and I believe it or not, I used to be scared to ask people for money, to ask for the sale, to bill my clients even sometimes. I'm like, oh man, am I charging too much? You know, these are real world conversations, right? Am I a luxury? You know, that kind of thing. And I would say, well, you know, no. And when I kind of got in line with my why, I was okay. Now I'm more confident. So even if I got behind on billing somebody, I'm still doing my why. Hey, we did all this business together. You need to pay me, right? So it happens in business, man. Everything goes sideways. Now it sounds sort of metaphorical, metaphysical, and a little bit like woo when you start talking about what's your why, but it's a reliable tool, reliability tool, and a resilience tool that you call upon. Sometimes you're just in line with your why and you're not even thinking about it. You're just doing the thing. It's when things are getting a little bit creaky, and that's your why. And here's the other piece. If you need to change and modify and amplify, change the way you're doing business a little bit based on economic times, based on what people see, what they're hearing, buying, markets change, your why can allow you the creative freedom to be able to deploy different techniques than you would normally do. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a one-to-one type of provider, and you're a, you know, I engage with Jake. Jake's my coach. We meet for half an hour a week. We do our business. I get my communication, get my action steps. All next week, there's Jake again. Come Monday morning, we're talking. I did this. I didn't do that. He's coaching me. That's a formula, and a very, very good one, by the way. And it's a very rewarding formula. There's nothing wrong with that formula. But what happens if the marketplace shifts, or you run into 7 or 8 people that don't fit that model? What happens then? Your why kicks in and you say, okay, let me do a hybrid here. Let me teach a course, have them go over the course, and then let's do some accountability through text. Of course, I'm making this, some things up. Let me do a group model. Let me create a monthly mastermind. Allow me to send my message in a different way. Paradigms have to shift a little bit, right? But when you're in line with why, that becomes a whole lot easier, and those friction points get jettisoned, right? And you know, I know
you just explained something really interesting there that I want to expound on a little bit.
Please do.
As we're thinking about this, you know, let's think about layoffs, economic hardships, you know, consumer concern over everything that's going on. What you just said is we're willing to do business differently. So let's bring group coaching in. Let's add a webinar. Let's add this thing. You went with value first. You went, okay, the market, what is the market asking for? You did not go to, and this is what I was really happy about. I'm going to point it out because there's where Mike went here is he went abundance mindset. He went, I'm going to come from value. I'm going to bring more value to my people so that they stay here. Yeah, I know. Look at who you're talking to.
Seriously.
A scarcity mindset goes, economic times suck. I'm going to cut my prices. And that is a scarcity mindset. You are hamstringing yourself. You are going to become part of the statistics. The statistics say, and a recent study actually says, 20% of businesses will fail in the first year, and an additional 50% will fail in the first 5. And that is largely because you're looking at a scarcity mindset. They start cutting prices and hacking stuff back and cutting costs and laying people off and going a different direction versus where Mike came from was, all right, my market needs more value. In order for me to continue being the leader here, I need to be more visible. I need to speak on more stages. I need to show up more. Does it mean I got to work harder to make the same amount of money? It may in difficult markets. That's true. And yet that's okay because you're creating value. Here's the interesting thing that happens in a downturn market. That is when you gain market share. That's when you gain market share. In a downturn market, that's when you do the work. And when 50% of the businesses die and you've done the work and you're still standing, you now own a huge chunk of market share that you have worked through to get it. So understand that there's opportunity in these spooky times. I don't even want to say scary. Like, do you have to work harder in some aspects? I've watched, I can look at this in my individual coaching practice. When in 2024, we had to create more. We had to do more value, much more value. We had to, you know, there wasn't necessarily cutting prices. We had more calls. We did group sessions. We did other things to increase. We had guest appearances on podcasts. We did all those things. And as consumer confidence increased going into 2025, what all of a sudden we noticed was there were more people around us. There were more potential customers. There were more potential clients. My bigger corporate clients signed more people with us in that time because we brought the value during that time. And it would not have been the same if we'd have just hacked prices. Because you know how hard it is to raise prices again when you jack them down? Well, that's brutal.
It's about as hard as it is to keep this conversation going because, Jake, we are running out of time, brother. So
we're there.
I mean, we got some great words of wisdom today. Thank you very much. Guys, on behalf of Jake Clendenning, my name is Michael Liberci. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to Total Disruption. It is your turn to disrupt.